Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Here we are again on a beautiful Monday afternoon. At least it is in Northern California. We had a horrendous hailstorm Saturday. It broke a little bit sunny yesterday, and it's gorgeous out there today, about 62 degrees. And at least I can see the snow on Mount Lassen over the river. And we're very happy to have that pleasant weather today after a pretty tumultuous weekend. We're here for the 457th episode of You Can Build It, a show that was initiated through the request of many friends from our other show, the Focus Society of Overachievers. And this show was focused on building a business, regardless the venue, regardless brick and mortar, internet, whatever, a business is a business. And since I made some changes in my life, collaborating with a dear friend who we joined forces in 1970, we started publishing, and it just was so easy and worked so well. And I guess, okay, thank you, Nancy. It worked so well that I started sharing what we were doing. And so what's happened over the last year or so, 2 years, is most of our callers and contributors have been in the creative fields, artists, poets, and authors. And in fact, I think we have an entrepreneur who I've known for several years. He was a member of our show 10 years ago, who now is considering writing his book. And that's Phil Sanko in Colorado. Is that you, Phil? 301, is that Phil? Mr. Phil Sanko, is that you, sir? No, that's Lou.
Lou here.
Oh, Lou, yeah. I'm sorry. Lou McIntyre is here. Okay, we're joined by Jerry Callison, the author of his most current book, Mouse in the House, For the Love of Peanut Butter. Nancy Lou Henderson, getting ready to publish her fourth book in the series, Love and Marriage. And Lou McIntyre, who has been hitting the speaking circuit and being honored throughout the country for his expertise in ancient Roman history and his books.
You're overstating that more than a little.
Well, let me have a little latitude here, Lou, for crying out loud. I mean, we all got to see you in a suit, which was kind of interesting at that one conference of maritime historians. So anyway, and then we're joined today by a gentleman. He's with a company that Tony Mihelski, the owner of Callisti Publishing, sent me the link. As most of you know, Tony and I have done a lot of work together over the last 10 years. Business-wise, and we went to the site called storyad.com. We have Mike on the line. Mike lives in Florida, but he works for the company, which is located in California. I set up a profile and nosing around, and then I had to quit nosing around because we had to start the show. Mike, would you please introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about your company. And I know I'm going to have some questions for you. So go ahead, Mike. It's all yours.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. My name is Mike Kilcullen. I am the head of marketing and growth at StoryAd, which is a book marketing platform for authors as well as publishers. As you mentioned, we're based in Pasadena, California, right outside of Los Angeles. But most of our team works remotely, as is the case with a lot of software companies and really any companies these days. And so I'm based in Florida. Our CTO is based also in Los Angeles, and our CEO is based in Pasadena. Is that strong enough of an introduction? Do we need?
Well, sure. And tell us a little bit about the history of StoryAd. I noticed looking at groups, I guess they're not current because the last post was 7 years ago. The site has been around for a while, I take it, eh?
Yeah, no, you're spot on. The StoryAd itself began as a book marketing consulting agency. So our CEO and founder, Ramsey, started StoryAd because he was helping a friend who was an author market their book. and you realize that, hey, maybe there's a chance. You know, you can necessarily scale an agency to help a ton of authors, but if you were to bring technology into the picture, there might be a way to create some features that provide value for these authors that are a little bit more DIY, self-service, and that they can work on marketing their book on their own time by use of the platform. So the company was actually founded, I guess it's hard to say, it's almost a decade now, back in 2010, but it's morphed, it's evolved, it's adapted into the story of the platform that if you visit our website that you see today.
Very cool.
What is that website? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. It's Storiad, STORIAD.com.
Okay, that's why when I went to Story and Ad,
no,
AD,
it's
.com, it took me to some Democratic Party's page.
Oh, boy.
Well, it's
I was in the same place and didn't want to stay there.
Yeah, it's got to be an I. Story. Story is an I, everybody. I think Mike said that. Story ad. And when I go there, it says app, app.storyad. Is that because I'm looking at my profile?
Sure. Yeah, that's exactly right. So
okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I mean, that's so the website is Storiad, STORIAD.com.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Whoops.
Yeah, I got a cute little girl at a computer on this page. This is better, right?
That's her.
Jerry?
Yeah, a lot better.
You found the right place. Yes.
Sorry, Mike. You'll find out we have humor here.
Yes, this is a wild group, Mike. That's why, you know, it's grown into a bunch of reprobates, actually. So
I'm okay with wild.
It's grown into a bunch of humorists, is what it is.
Yeah. And, you know, that's an interesting sidelight. As I mentioned earlier, Nancy is an example of a very recent author, published author, in the last couple of years. She'd not done that in the past. And one of the things that has been infectious and helped her marketing is that she took our advice and immediately started an author website, and she posts her books on there in chapters as they are written, and then ends up publishing the book, and people still flock to her website and buy books and all that good stuff. But she started a blog, which was fascinating, Mike, because her humor is evidenced through her blog. And so her fan base is gravitated towards her humor. And then she started to use audio. Now she has a different voice, as you probably recognize. And she never laughs. Nancy never laughs.
Never.
Anyway, she's used those talents to her advantage, marketing in an area that was basically new to her. If you want to talk about flowers, she knows all about marketing flowers. So, so that's where social media has helped many of us on this call. How do you relate your site through social media? I noticed that we're allowed to put our social media links in, which is always helpful, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, social media, I guess in a marketing sense, right, it's all about finding, locating, and appealing to your target audience. Now, I think authors write for their target audience, right? It's just organically happening. There's not this, hey, I'm going to target 18 through 24-year-olds in this region of the United States. Maybe some people are doing that, or they have some mind for it, but a lot of people write for themselves, and by writing for yourself or for your audience, your kids, whoever it is, there's large markets out there, right, that identify with that, and those become your buyers, your followers. And what social media does is it helps you connect with those people over time, as well as allows them to follow you as you evolve, as you put out the second book, or if you're promoting through a chapter on chapter basis on your website. It really just allows you to build on your following and keep people in the loop, which is, it's essential, right? Because when the day comes where you release the full book, you want to be able to promote that link and have a lot of those good eyeballs from that target market that are able to traffic in and purchase the book.
Very good. Now, do you actually, you know, like I said, I've only tasted touched the water here. On your site, storyad.com, people are referring, I assume, the members and readers here to other sites where their books can be purchased, or do you have purchase available on site?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say we have purchase available on site, but what we do have is a digital press kit. So if you were to sign up for StoryAd Pro, which is, we have a free account, which kind of gives you some taste of the platform. If you are to upgrade to Pro, which is our paid plan, you're going to be able to create a digital press kit, which is an online presence for your book. And in that digital press kit, you can add links to your Amazon or to wherever someone can purchase the book. So by way of that, we allow authors to sell their books through StoryAd, because the digital press kit is hosted on our website. We like it, one, because authors can customize their press kits to really either fit their book or their personality, their style, right? Things that are going to resonate with that audience they're targeting. So through way of that, it's very easy to create a digital press kit for your book, share that out there through social media or however you'd like, and the people that view it will be able to purchase your book through the Amazon link.
Very good. And I notice on the, now it's $35 a month, billed monthly, correct? For the Pro.
That's correct.
And the only difference I see between the free, because most of us, you know, I have to tell you right now, this is a group of people, we call ourselves experienced citizens. and I guess we grew up in a frugal environment. So on the internet, we always like to, you know, taste the wine, take a sip before we gulp it. And so I typically start a program free and then start looking at the advantages. Now, what I found interesting is, I mean, what I see free is seems adequate. Now the title P&L calculator and the book royalty calculator and the book worth calculator are available in the free market, right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the only thing we don't have is the unlimited digital media kits, publicity campaign organizer, and that might be something to look. Do you find a lot of your members joining free and then migrating to Pro after a few months?
Yeah, I think we see a lot of that, especially with either first-time authors or authors-to-be. I think that they're not ready to commit, or they don't have a budget together ready for marketing. So they, like you said, they want to taste the wine. They want to dip their foot in the water first. And maybe they want to get some, they want to see that there's value on the other site. If they're not really familiar with software, they just want to know what creating an account and what the app looks like, right? The app.storyad.com, and see, hey, is this something I can use to my benefit? Usually if that works out, we see them upgrade to Pro fairly quickly. And again, if they're an author who's maybe a little bit more seasoned, they do what you've done. They compare the features and they say, okay, I know a digital media kit is very valuable and I need that, so I have an online presence that I can share via a link for my book. And then the marketing plan wizard is awesome as well. That really just helps you define and put together a plan for your entire marketing campaign per book. And then, of course, the publicity contacts database is our database of 33,000 book publicists, industry professionals, bloggers, reviewers, with their contact information that you can actually reach out to. So you can see there's kind of like the dipping your toe in the water and saying, hey, is there some value? Is there some value for me in this? And then there might be an author who lands on the site and says, oh, okay, I know what these things are. I didn't do them last time around. I want to do them this time. $35 is pretty reasonable. As well as there's a 7-day free trial for that plan. I'll sign up and give it a go.
Right. Okay. And these are kind of interesting things, because many of us have been, since we've been chatting and getting to know each other, we always try to go out and look at other things, because you don't leave stones unturned. And are you seeing a reasonable conversion? I mean, people, again, I've only been here for a couple of hours. I like what I see. But I have a question. I did have a couple of questions, so I asked the young lady in the chat room. Those features, such as the calculator, the book calculator, how does one find that access in their personal dashboard?
Yeah, so on the dashboard page of the app, which is where you'll land right when you sign up or anytime you log in, there's you're going to see five boxes. The center line, second row box is going to have the financial tools within them.
Okay, so, and now go ahead.
Yep, that's where it is.
Okay, we're kind of visual people. I'm on the site, and probably some other of our members have already signed up. I don't know, but I'm looking at the it's called App Story Ad members and name. Okay.
Yep.
And I see the word dashboard. I see the word guidance, projects, outreach, groups, network, profile, and account.
Yeah. Are you on? Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I click on dashboard and nothing happens.
So if you're on dashboard, you should be able to view a few things on that page. You should be able to see a box with projects. If you don't have any projects built out, you'll need to build one out first. And you should also see a box that says manage your campaign finances in a second row.
Okay.
Are you seeing those boxes?
No, that's where the reasons why, because I asked on the chat room, you know, and maybe there was a good, better idea to have here. I'm looking at a page with the, it's apps, James or J. Strauss projects. Then if I click to dashboard, the only thing that takes up my page is the request to create a project.
Yeah, so and I'm not sure it's specific to your problem about seeing it, but there's a chance that you may just need to create a project before you can enter and use any of those tools.
Okay.
Sounds
okay.
A little
very
odd
good.
That it's not this. Yeah, it may just be an onboarding component, but okay. Without
good.
Seeing it, I can't diagnose it for sure.
I
feel, yeah, but it should okay. be there.
Very good. And the new project is basically a description of one of our books, correct?
That's correct. So okay. A project is like how we organize books. Okay. I think of it as like, I don't know if authors, so if you have one book, right, where's all of the information that's important and relevant to that book, digital and non-digital, stored? Where's its summary, where's its page count, the ISBN, right. the link right. to buy it, its Goodreads page, all that information, right, is probably a little bit scattered. You know where it is as the author.
Mm-hmm.
You have bookmarked those accounts, but there's a lot of information you can have per book. So a project is how we organize it. You can have it all in one place for reference. And of course, in Story Added, you add everything to a project, those things filter into the digital press kit, into a few other things,
I see.
So that they're actually useful with you. Yeah.
Well, it looks like I have some work to do tomorrow. I have a board meeting tonight, so I'm not going to be able to do it tonight. But have any of our other contributors, has anybody else looked at the Story Ad? Have you signed up?
Yeah, I'm in there. I joined, and it says I'm to create a project. Now, is this... I'm not sure what this means.
That's
is this create a book, or is this, it says choose a file, project
right.
description, summary, author bio, and all of that. Is
this would be one of your published books, Nancy.
All right. So you would choose that file or download that PDF. Is that what they're wanting?
Yep. So well, it sounds like you're in the create a project page.
Well, that's the only thing we're able to do when you sign up.
Yep. So
if
you're creating your, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. To get links to your books on Amazon, you would need to sign up for the $35 a month, right? To have the links.
Well, you can store all the information. Again, I'm guessing you have a free account right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if
right.
you're creating the projects, you you can store all of those things. Now, for them to display automatically in your digital press kit, that's part of the pro feature. So you can store all of your information, but for it to be somewhere that lives active, like the digital press kit, which is a pro feature, you would have to upgrade. That makes sense.
Okay. All right. No. But I'm on some other sites and they have, certain things. Booksy does that, but you have to pay to actually link. And, but that it's good to have your files there. You don't know.
You bet.
You know. Don't know what you're going to do.
It's a central source, of information. So the way our founder describes it is, this is your digital library for your books. So if you're someone who published or self-published 4 or 5, and over, and maybe 3 of those you published over the last 5 or 10 years, right? Having a central place where all that information lives and can be referenced. That's why we offer projects.
I
think most people just go to their Amazon page and they're like, oh, that's where all of my information is. Because their book is for purchase, it's available. But for the sake of story, the projects are where you start. And I think this feature, even on a free level, is really helpful for some authors.
All right. So you and you just do the author bio, you just put it in once if you've got more projects than one.
Every book should have its own dedicated project.
Okay, so you would dedicate each one.
So if you've written 5
yeah,
books,
I understand what you've got going here. So this, I have 3 books that were all published last year, self-published. So with a little help from Anthony Mikelski. I'm a hybrid published is what I've decided.
Now we have a name for us.
right. This is cool. It's nice. It's a nice site too.
Very
it's
nice.
Pretty like self-explanatory too, which I like.
I like having
to want it to be intuitive. Yeah, that's so awesome to hear. We want it to be intuitive. You know, even on the homepage, we have easy to use marketing software for authors and publishers, because the reality is, unless you're an author, right, with a huge consulting or a huge budget for a consulting firm to do your marketing, or a publisher who's going to take care of a lot of that for you, or the momentum from having been an author or a successful author for years. There's so many authors out there that just don't have a self-service tool that they can understand and use. And that's kind of the goal of StoryAd, is to provide them with something that is intuitive enough. They can jump in. They can start today. If they're willing to start the 7-day free trial of StoryAd Pro, they can get their marketing plan wizard or our marketing plan wizard to produce a marketing plan for their book, you know, today or tomorrow, right? And then begin executing on that. So We're trying to serve the market that's kind of just overlooked by audiences that don't have or books that don't have huge budgets behind them.
Right, and that's a good thing, because there's a bunch of people who are self-published, and there's a reason for that, because we weren't selected by known whoever's and. But that doesn't mean there's not a diamond in the raw out here in some of this somewhere.
Absolutely. Or even a book that might have, you know, I think about it like this. There might be self-publishing authors or indie authors that have a book out there that 500 people would enjoy, right? Now, a lot of publishers are never going to take their chance on, right? They're all looking for huge markets, right? They want to see financial upside. They want to be able to see profits. They have all these things that they look for in their model. And what's, you know, we're like, how many authors are out there or people who just want to write books, creatively express themselves, tell a story? And there's audiences for them. So we want to make sure that they're able to find them, have the tools they need to give them their best shot to get those books in front of that audience.
Exactly. That's a good
regardless of money.
I want to give a kudo out to you, Mike, and your company. While we're listening to you and Nancy, I went over to the section called Guidance, and I just want to praise you for the wonderful 5 pro tips. Start here, a checklist of what to do. Building your digital book. Your tutorials are very well written and simple for old people like me to understand. So I want to congratulate you there. And of course, I didn't go there first, so I didn't know they were there. But for anybody listening today, tomorrow, and who knows, some of our shows are listened to over the last 14 years. When you do sign up for StoryAd, either as a free or paid member, don't forget to click on those words, Dashboard Guidance Outreach. Now, there's one that the research database is included in the StoryAd Pro plan. And then network, browse a member directory to find new. So you can actually click on the members. And my gosh, there's Nancy Liu. She's active 33 seconds ago. F. Scott.
I'm still alive, yes.
JL, is that you? JL Callison, are you a new member? Yes, he is.
Yeah.
All right.
I just clicked on network and it says, sorry, no members were found. So I didn't know if it was active or not.
Yeah, no, so, you're active. We need to put your face up there, though. That's kind of important.
I just went up there. I think Google has my face stored up or something. I don't know where it just went, wow, yeah. I'm there.
Well, Mike, that's I'm very glad really that you like joined it. Us. For what it's worth for your company, we meet here almost every Monday. I used to be religious about my talk shows, but over the last couple of years, there have been a week or two when I'm not here. Our shows are downloaded. They are MP3 available when the show is finished. I put them up on my personal website, and many of our contributors will grab the MP3 or ask me for it, and they'll share it on their websites, especially if they had something profound to say or want to share with their fans ideas, tips, and tricks on marketing books. And one of the things we've emphasized, because it's my favorite thing, is building tribes. And that's where the bulk of my efforts go on a daily basis. We have well over 1 million pages read on our website per year. And Facebook alone sent over 500,000 new visitors last year organically. So I like building tribes of eager readers. And most of our participants have found some success, sometimes a lot of success, selling their books directly to people who do visit their website, because it allows a more personal engagement. We've made good friends in the last several years with our repeat buyers of books. So that's kind of the emphasis we go in. And I know that's contrary to a lot of directions that people espouse. And what works for me doesn't necessarily work for Jerry. But then again, I've learned a lot from Jerry, because some of the things he has done or is doing, you try that and it works. So we try to like to share ideas here. Lou McIntyre. Lou, tell us about that that wonderful meeting you were at. What was it, 10 days ago or so?
Yes, it was. And, basically the National Maritime Historical Society publishes a magazine. And it also sponsors basically the preservation of all aspects of maritime history. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about this presentation is, and the interesting thing about The Eagle and the Dragon as well, is that that book dealt with, among about the first third of it, was Roman ships in the Indian Ocean. And you don't normally associate Rome with the Indian Ocean 2,000 years ago. However, it was a very, very significant trade. The ships were very big, and it turned out that the taxes they got off of that trade in silk and spices, frankincense and myrrh, and tortoiseshell that they turned into their version of Formica for tabletops. That funded about one third of the state budget, which was also very modern in scope.
You mean we're not the first people to learn how to do things like that? Them old farts knew about that stuff, huh?
They knew about a lot of stuff, and then I don't know what happened to some of them. They just disappeared.
The Middle Ages happened. That's what happened.
I guess so, because some of those people back in the day were smart.
You know,
and the interesting thing is they were building ships 2,000 years ago that were bigger than anything was built in Europe again until the 15th, 16th, 17th century.
Right. Wow. I think, Mike, I don't know if this bores you.
If you want to know how big one is, just read the Acts of the Apostles.
Right.
Because it gives a very detailed description of him getting on an Alexandrian grain freighter sailing late in the season. Actually, it was October 22nd. We don't know for sure what year, but around AD 60, because he sailed on Yom Kippur.
Wow.
And that one had a 270-man crew, and they were caught in an early nor'easter because the sailing season normally shut down in November because of storms.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to make one last trip to Rome, got caught in that storm, tried to make harbor in Crete, didn't succeed, and then they were blown to Malta.
Wow.
And after 2 weeks, they were making one knot speed of advance, because it took them 2 weeks to go that distance. And they were actually sailing across the wind, because they didn't want to sail before the wind, because the nor'easter would have blown them up on the coast of Africa, and sailing ships don't have very good reverse gear.
No, they don't. That's why when you're coming into the...
Anyway, it was a big, very tough ship, and when it got to Malta, it made a very controlled crash landing on the beach at St. Paul's Bay.
Now, is all of this in your book, Lou?
Descriptions of the ship, yeah.
Okay, very good.
St. Paul's in the book, but he's just a very, very small thread. My pirate was a deckhand on the tramp freighter. He rode from Caesarea to Myra before he got off and changed ships for Rome for the big ship.
Mm-hmm. So you've taken the approach very similar to us, where we write, of course, current in our case, life experienced fiction. So you've created a character to describe events that actually happened.
Yes.
Okay. And that's a style of writing that many of us on this call seem to, I don't gravitate to. I know it's, we just finished the last chapter, by the way, everybody. This is the plug today. The Cat. I'm getting it ready for print this week. It's on the website, jamesstrauss.com. And of course, everybody knows you look at the navigation. You can read all 25 chapters right there on the website. And as you will, even after they're published, but there will be a modest fee attached if you want to read online. But that is kind of a fictionalized account of a societal evolution that obviously occurred before our lifetime, because we set it back about 2,000-3,000 years ago. But it's so much fun writing that kind of, in that genre. And I really think the readership goes for it. I mean, Nancy, you're writing a memoir. Now, yours is not fiction. You're actually writing the memoir. But Jerry, one of your books, Rotund Roland, has some reality based to the character. Isn't that true?
Yeah, somewhat. And Stranded Ramses Lodge does also.
Right.
Both of them coming from a little bit different aspect. Mm-hmm. But and then My Donkey and the Master is
yes.
Well, it's, you know, scripture based, but it's fictionalized. Mm-hmm. In that it comes from the vantage point of a fictional character.
Right.
So I guess mine kind of all fit into that category too, other than maybe Mouse. That one kind of made that up out of whole cloth.
Well, that's a child's book. Mike, are you seeing a lot of authors gravitating to this style?
So I can't say that I have a ton of data on story as in to support it, but I can say from personal experience, I really enjoy that style or that type of book. And it seems to me that many others do as well. I wish I had some research in front of me that really backed whether the interest is increasing or decreasing, but we just haven't taken stock for that yet.
Well, let me jump in real quick, and then we'll get back to Nancy because she always has better things to say. One of the things that fascinates me is your groups, which I was disappointed. And hopefully maybe afterwards you can email me what groups you think are most dynamic. But I'm wondering if people like us may want to set up a group on StoryAd where we can share our ups and downs and how we stub our toes and how we climb out of it on those of us who like to write, as I use the genre, life experienced fiction. Except Nancy's not writing. Well, the Cedar Chest is life experienced fiction, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's telling us a tale about people through the eyes of a cedar chest, which over the last 50 years.
Yeah, it's actually a outline of my memoir told from the cedar chest point of view. But, you know, going back to historical fiction, I think you're seeing a lot of people are drawn to the Outlanders. And that is, from what Lou's told me, very historical and fiction, you know, as far as the characters that are going through the history. But it's that has a big drawing and the books, you know, have a big drawing too. I think for a historical fiction would be unbelievable. I think people just like the fact that it's historically accurate, but it's fictional characters. Maybe, you know, you're not mm-hmm. actually throwing everybody in there, but James's is kind of different because his is kind of about him, but he's doing it. He's changing the names and the times and the places.
Well, the federal government appreciates that side of it. Our CIA, our CIA character is definitely a figment of our imagination, except our wives don't think so. So anyway,
right. I think people want to read that and mm-hmm. Find out things like that. I really think that it is a big market. More so than funny stories in a memoir.
Well, I just have to, and I'm sorry, guys, if you're tired of hearing me say this, I don't say it every week, but I want to put this out to the public. When Nancy decided, after Nancy found the 151 letters written to her by her husband when he was in Vietnam, and she wondered if anybody would be interested in them, and when I read a couple of them, I fell off my chair. Because what she's done is taken reality and edified what a man really is. We have so much disparagement about mankind today and masculinity and all that. And your husband was the epitome of masculinity and manhood because he was not afraid to express deep and sincere feelings in such a beautifully poetic way. You know, and right. so and, Go ahead.
I think too, with me is I see too that this is a journal, nearly a everyday journal of his time in Vietnam, and the way he gets over being depressed and upset and even angry at different things, and the way he can talk in his way by writing to me, he can actually talk it out and get over it.
Right.
And you know, I think he's showing people that it's not the end of the world. You can, you know, talk it out, and he's not actually talking to me at that time, but he is. And I think that shows a great strength, and I think he's showing people that they can. It's not the end of the world. You can get past it. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's he was a special person, and he was actually the writer. His writing is far better.
Well, you've put it together very well, and your writing is infectious also. So and again, your genre, I've never really, well, memoirs, 30 Days Has September is a memoir, but definitely, you know, everybody knows who it is. You know, that was a terrible 30 days in a person's life. But fine. The fact that you and Jim express reality so well, and I think that's what's drawing your market. I mean, you know, you say, well, Nancy writes a love story. Most of the people will say, oh, who needs another love story? Except you're not writing writing a real love story.
And I'm writing it in funny stories. I write it in story form of things we did that were ridiculous when we were young and still did. You know, right now, I just finished one about painting the house. Well, I've got some painting to do outside, and I guarantee you I'm going to be the boss this time, and the helper can fly on in from heaven.
Right.
Because, you know, but you'd have to read it to understand. But the way we connected to each other, and I think it's a lot about marriage, commitment, communication through marriage, and just sacrificing and being unselfish with each other and realizing that, you know, your first year of marriage, it's not always just fun and games when you may love someone with all your heart, but then they're going to be doing some things that are just going to aggravate you, you know, by squeezing the places wrong end but, you know, I think, as you go through that, and get past the draw of just being madly in love, you know, you become one person and you agree on things. You don't usually argue very much over silly things after you get older. You just kind of go, I agree.
In your case, you're actually using what you just described as the foundation of your marketing. You're reaching out to people based on your knowledge of demographics of people who know, I mean, you feel would be interested in this, because I see the responses of your readers in the comment sections of the social media and on your website. But the thing that fascinates me is you did drill down and you're getting a larger audience of young people who probably need to read this more than old people do. But
Well, and it's also historical. I have a history teacher that told me, you know, you're talking about how much hamburger was, and you're talking about no phone, you know, and you only could write letters.
Your $25 automobile, your first automobile, $25. I remember those days.
And the only way to call home was at a payphone, you know, remember those? And if you had a dime or whatever. But it's historical to those times in the 60s and on from then on. And, you know, what we actually did back then. I mean, you know, it wasn't, it's different now. And they're fascinated with, really? Y'all only had, you know, y'all talked to each other? Yes.
Yeah, because he didn't have television.
We didn't have a television. Right. We didn't have phone. We didn't have a car. All we had, and two, I'm on a young military wives group. And they're talking about, you know, emailing and FaceTiming, and they asked me the question, how did y'all communicate? And I told them all we had was letters. There was no email. There was no computer. There was, you know, none of that. And it took 5 days to get a letter or longer from them, and 5 days or longer to get an answer back. And you just had to, you couldn't see them immediately. You had to learn to deal with things on your own, and they did too. But there were times when God intervened, and if I was upset about something, I would mail a letter asking him about something, and I would open my post office box right after I mailed it, and there would be a letter in there telling me what to do. So that's God mail. And you know, of course, God's behind this whole book. So I don't know. I think people, and the one that really bothers me is the person who says, I didn't know true love really existed. Oh, and I thought, gosh, you know, sure it does. But to be loved, you have to love. So there's no selfishness in loving somebody. You have to be totally unselfish, and you have to be totally trusting. If you can't do that, then you need to work on it.
You bet. And you've done a great job in sharing this with the public, as has Jerry in Rotan Roland, which was what was the first book I read of Jerry's. And Lou, I haven't finished your book yet. I don't know what's wrong with me. I got very involved and then I just haven't kept up. You better kick me in the fanny and get me going. Mike, have you written a book?
So
are you there, Mike?
I can't say I have. I've only been on the earth 27 years now, and I think I'd be doing you guys an injustice if I thought I had an experience as cool as Lou's or Nancy's to share. There might be something in there, but it's still developing.
Well, you know, I'm going to share something with you. I mean, I'm outspoken anyway. Believe it or not, at age 27, you have a lot of life experience.
Yeah.
Now here's the reason I say this. You just heard Nancy say that she would have to wait time, in inordinate time, to get communication from her husband. And we've all gone through that, you know. And just think that you are of a generation that you grew up experiencing instant.
Yeah.
And your perspective of things are different than us. And there's no problem with that, because we can learn and you can learn from both sides. But very few people your age, see, what gets to me, and I'm going to be frank, I see and have talked to many young people who are writing, I don't know what it's called, dystopian sci-fi or something, you know, monsters and all this.
Yep.
But how many young people your age, how many books have you read about the handling of the challenges that your generation has experienced, let's say since high school, okay? And your basis is 100% different than my basis.
Absolutely. So, I'm looking at my bookshelf right now, and I actually can't say, other than I've got a book from the Harvard Business Review and a few others that touch on some of the subjects, but I can't even say that I recall the material that well. I think, and the nature of as you pointed out, my age group getting things a lot quicker, expecting things a lot quicker, right? Most of that reading, if any at all, occurs on our mediums, right? On blog articles, on little things on the phone. It could even be a single social media post, and for better or worse, right? That's how a lot of gets their information. And of course, we found out recently it's also how a lot of misinformation has spread through elections. And
Mike, I'm going to ask you a favor. Number one, my website is chuckbartok.com, and in the about section, you'll see my ugly face, And underneath my face are three books that I read in 1960 when I was 10 years younger than you are now.
Okay.
And those three books were required reading at the university I went to as a freshman. And for some reason, not being very smart and not being sophisticated, those books impacted my life and set my lifestyle. Okay. Now, the problem is you have to read them. And they're always available for free, digitized, of course, because I can't afford to send books to everybody around the world. And you might want to download one of those. Now, also, if you'll send me an email at chuck@chuckbartok.com, I will show you where to go to get audios delivered to your email about one of those books. And this is all free. There's no cost or anything else. And what I have learned, my youngest is 40, and his friends went through listening to this old man when they were your age. And the ones that took the time and energy to become immersed in some of this information have enjoyed much more comfort in their lives. I'm not saying they're millionaires, you understand, but they're living comfortable, productive lives because they believe in themselves, you see. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
download those three books. Start with, I would suggest that you start with the first one, which was written in 1880. Orison Swett Marden's The Miracle of Right Thought. Then that's followed by Charles Hennell's book, The Master Key, which is 26 chapters. Show you how clever he was. It was a correspondence book where you sent him a dollar in the 1910s, and he would mail you through the snail mail a chapter, and there would be questions at the end of the chapter. You'd answer the questions, mail it back to him with another dollar, and he would send you the next chapter, okay?
Wow.
When it was all done, he collected $27 from you, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then he would mail you the printed book for free.
It's a great model.
Isn't that a wonderful model?
Yeah, you know. I mean, listen. What we do in our space, which is called SaaS, Software as a Service, which right. really is just subscription based software. You pay a monthly yes. fee or a regular right. fee, and you have access to software online that allows you to do whatever you need to do, whether it's accounting, your invoices, book marketing. Right, there's tons of different things. We're always looking for a better model, especially as more and more tools join the space and more people are expected to take their disposable income or whatever income they have to invest in themselves and put it into these subscriptions, right? No one wants to have 50 subscriptions. So anyways, long story short, I love hearing about models that are different and that are unique and that maybe even have a little bit, right? Kind of like that model you described, that have a little bit of an interesting edge to it when it's all said and done, right? You're getting the mm-hmm. free book. You don't think you paid $27. You paid
multiple times. And how many people paid $27 for a book in 1913?
It's almost mind-blowing. So
yeah.
I don't know that that is adjusted for inflation, but I can imagine it's a little bit more than what people yeah. would have agreed to if it was up.
Be a $500 book.
Yeah, right.
Or more. Well, Mike, I sure appreciate your coming by. And again, I will make sure that you get the download. Drop me an email at my name, chuck@chuckbartok.com. I'll reply to you with the, and you can listen to this whenever you want. We don't edit it, so it's raw. I want to thank Lou McIntyre, our fabulous fictional historian, if that's the proper word. You have a couple other books I never asked you about, Luke. Can you please broadcast them out to our audience?
The other one was my first foray into self-publishing, and that's Come Follow Me, A Story of Pilate and Jesus. And it's okay. kind of both religious and historical fiction, because it looks at Pontius Pilate and how he felt after he finished washing his hands and what he mm-hmm. did and talked and thought about that weekend with some of the other characters that were involved or may have been involved. By some accounts, the Roman soldier, the centurion in charge of the execution, who put the lance in the side of Jesus, was the same centurion who had had his son healed.
Yeah.
And his name was Longinus, and by some accounts, he's kept that lance, and it exists to the present day,
wow.
if you believe the History Channel.
Right.
But anyway, it's very accurate to the scriptures. It's only 47 pages.
Okay.
And accordingly cheap. And also a quick read.
Inexpensive, Lou. Inexpensive.
I did finally get the cover looking better. It's got a homemade cover, which certainly did not help the sales any.
Okay, and we can find out more about you. Do you prefer people to go to your website or to go to Amazon?
You can go to my Facebook page and Come Follow Me also has a page. It's Come Follow Me, A Story of Pilate and Jesus. You can link to it off of my author page, Lewis.
Okay, but your Facebook is Lou, L-E-W.
No, my author page is L-E-W-I-S.
Oh, okay.
McIntyre, author.
Okay, very good.
And it's my full name, and that is my author page.
Okay, and Lou is your other page, right?
I'm sorry?
Lou is your profile.
Lou is my profile.
Right. And Nancy, I'll bet you nobody knows that we need to look at Nancy Lou Henderson on Facebook to find you. And NancyLouHenderson.com, a great place. All of Nancy's books are there for you guys to read. You know, the books we're talking about tonight. But also there to buy.
Mark, I just want to tell you that at 27, you got plenty of time. I was 65 when God decided I was going to do this. So, but, you know, also mine are all free to read chapter by chapter up there all the time. And even the fourth book I'm putting up now, they're all free to read because it is a God project. And over 80,000 people have been up there and read them. So they're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But, you know, it's opened up other things for me. I understand now I must be a poet, but I don't think so. But... but it's opened up some other doors, but it's a place I think that you'll like, and you can go up there and read whatever you want. And if you want a book, you can get a book.
And send your friends to NancyLouHenderson.com. And then with J.L. Callison, Jerry Callison, where would you like our listeners and people that check out this show in the night, where would you like them to head, sir?
They're welcome to go to my Facebook page or to jlcallison.com.
That's C-A-L-L-I-S-O-N?
Correct. Yeah. It's not the greatest website, but it's there and
it works.
Our works are there. So they're most welcome to follow me on Facebook, and I have a lot of fun on there. I get mixed up in a little bit of politics and a fair amount of humor, and every once in a while I post something about my books. I don't do a whole lot of self-promotion on there. I try to promote others on my Facebook. I find that more effective than trying to get people to buy my stuff all the time.
Right. And that's another thing on this show, Mike, that is a kind of an unknown or unspoken marketing technique that works wonders. Nancy's that way. I would say that 20% of what she does on social media is about Nancy, and 80% is her time spent edifying others. Lou does that. JL does it. I do it. And I learned 40, 50 years ago that I can build a following if I follow other people and edify their talent. Because people say, well, who the hell is this guy doing this? So, you know, then they can find me their own way. I'm going to leave today with a plug. I'm very proud of the fact, as I mentioned earlier, we just finished the novel set back a couple thousand years ago, The Cat. Chapter 25 was published on the website. You can read the whole 25 chapters if you go to jamesstrauss.com. That's two S's in the middle and two S's at the end, /cat, C-A-T. You can start at the beginning of the story. It's a delightful way to look at the evolution of a tribe through the eyes of an animal who actually becomes the leader of that human tribe. So it's kind of a different slant on things. It will be published and available for sale in a short period of time. Mike, I want to thank you and the great crew at StoryAd for giving us the opportunity to find out about you. We thank Anthony Mihalski from Callisti Publishing for sending us your link, and I look forward to spending more time there. And I hope you come back and join us again or have some of other members of your staff. I hope you don't think, I mean, we're here to let you say whatever you want. And the more we can learn, the more successful we will become.
Yeah, no, well, I want to say first, thanks so much for having me. It was great getting to talk with you as well as Nancy, Lou, Jerry, and meet you guys and connect and discuss some of these things. And I want to make sure that I send you my direct contact, as well as anyone on this call who's interested in StoryAd or anyone you might know, so that they have someone, maybe a voice or someone they know over on our side, that they can connect with and ask questions for and any sort of help related, some VIP customer support for you guys, just out of appreciation.
Well, we love that.
All right.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah. And, yeah, just thanks again. It's been a blast. I really appreciate you having me.
All right. Well, everybody, I want to thank you all for joining us again for the 457th episode of You Can Build It, Your Business, regardless of what the business is. That's another thing. All of you authors out there, remember, you are in business. I know you're creatives. You're much more brilliant than I, but books need to be sold, and that's what we like to focus on. So you all go out, have a great week, because have a great day tomorrow, and we know there is no alternative. Thank you all for joining us.